This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
We'll be going through election results. Here's the question. Will we actually be near or close to being able to announce who has won as president? Does Trump get a second term, or is it Joe Biden? Honestly, like so many others, I do think that we won't be able to announce it because it's just going to be too close. There's so much in the toss-up category. For example, Texas is being considered toss-up now, partially because of how many people have already voted. In fact, early voting now at 71 million. That is an incredible number. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, the yin and yang of it all. Whatever nook or cranny you hail from, it's going to be interesting as we get closer and closer. And the push is on, and we knew that. We talked about it yesterday. It's all about polls and opinions and who has the biggest chance of victory and could all the polls be wrong or could they be right? I saw a glaring headline on the Drudge Report today that said only a 5% chance of victory for the president. And we know what happens sometimes with these margins of error and with polls. So some are saying on the left that don't count your chickens for the Biden people. And then on the right side of the aisle, so to speak, it's don't think that, you know, there's still not a chance left for the president to take this thing again and have a double dip as far as the presidency is concerned. So let's dive right in to what I call the mish and the mash of it all, or the yin and the yang. 22,000 ballots rejected in Texas, which is a toss-up state, due to scanning machine that screwed up to a bizarre malfunction. I mean, I have to say this. No matter which way you voted, it's ridiculous that we live in the United States of America and this can't be a smoother thing. Because really, every year there's always problems, some sort of problems. This is in Tarrant County where they're saying this. 22,000 ballots so far. You have ballot board members working in 12-hour shifts to accurately replicate the ballots so they can be counted. The county elections administrator there told a really hot crowd of county commissioners that the problem was with a barcode printed on the ballots. It's not 100% legible. Are you kidding me? So where do they print up these ballots? At you print it, you guess it? I mean, ridiculous. So it was discovered, of course, on Sunday as the ballot board started opening envelopes and putting completed ballots into the scanners, and then they weren't scanning. So the volume that you're talking about, the damage, unreadable, that volume is incredible. They printed 100 million ballots, and they're the same type of ballots. So this is a huge problem in Tarrant County, which, by the way, is a very big area. It's part of that Dallas-Fort Worth area, which is one of our biggest cities in the nation because you lop it into to Dallas. So, wow. And this is just one place. How about while this is happening, the West is on fire in California. Hey, the Dodgers luckily win in Dallas, Texas, or Arlington because they were at Globe Life Field. But while the Dodgers, woohoo, are celebrating, half of L.A. is on fire, and the riots are continuing in Philadelphia. For the second night in a row, this has happened because police killed Walter Wallace Jr., and it escalated the violence, and they're telling Philly folks in some areas just stay indoors because of the hot spots, because of some of the looting areas. And this has been two whole days of this, hundreds of people protesting with lots of interaction between the police and demonstrators. And it has really gotten hot. As of even Tuesday afternoon, at least 91 people had been arrested because of all the unrest. Some of it was looting. Some of it was up for other reasons. The Pennsylvania National Guard has been mobilized in response to the events following that shooting. What happened, if you don't know the story, quickly, I'll encapsulate it for you. The Philly police fatally shot 27-year-old Walter Wallace Jr., a black man armed with a knife, on a street, a popular street, Locust Street, on Monday afternoon. And family members and neighbors are questioning the shooting. The city is saying, what are they going to say? An investigation is underway. So this is a big, big swell, a very, very big swell right before the election, and in a state that is up for grabs, a state that is incredibly important to in this presidential election. I mean, wow. It is never over. Just when you think it is over and you think that we're sliding in a different direction, something changes, something happens. Unbelievable. And I got to mention this at the top because I brushed over it. For all of you baseball fans, or not even baseball fans, for the city of Los Angeles, the Dodgers ended a 32-year-old drought. It's just like the droughts they're having, have had in California, have had that effect on the fires. But the Dodgers end up winning the World Series by beating the Tampa Rays. It's their first World Series since 1988. Get that. 1988. I mean, really, wow, wow, and wow. So we have to say congratulations to them at the top of this thing. And then I mentioned the fires. It's the Santa Ana winds. So nasty. 90,000 people have been evacuated, and this is in the Irvine area and other surrounding areas. So it's, again, that yin and yang or mishmash that we have going on. You have a tropical storm Zeta that is moving toward landfall in the Gulf Coast on Wednesday. What a busy hurricane season it's been. They're talking about 80-mile-an-hour winds. The commonality with the winds in California, 80-mile-an-hour in some places, but it's those hot, dry winds that are crushing these fires that are making it so tough to have any kind of containment, and is leading to all of these evacuations where I don't see how anyone, if somebody even says it's not mandatory to me and I can see the smoke in my face and it's not too far away, I don't see how anyone is not just saying we're out. You know, we've had 42 fires in California over a 24-hour period, and mostly because those winds have picked up. And when those winds picked up, it is hellacious. It really is. I mean, you have the Silverado Fire, they're calling it, has consumed more than 20 square miles with only 5%, like I said, such small containment because they can't get it under control. 5% containment. Imagine that where you're listening to me in Australia, the UK, other parts of the world, or here in the United States, and you have 5 minutes to get out of your house. That's what it was like for a few people. 70,000-plus Irvine folks in that area under evac orders. Another 6,000 in another suburb. My, oh, my. And they're hoping they can start to return home in the next couple of days. Stay with us.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you
you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Man, well, one of the wealthiest men in the world, he's not the wealthiest, but one of the wealthiest men in the world, had some thoughts about the stimulus and the vaccine. You know, when you look at these polls for the vaccine, it's kind of 50-50, depending on the poll, whether you, listening to me, want to actually take the vaccine for COVID-19 or not. And I think part of that is because maybe you're anti-vax, so that could be a small percentage of people. But I think the other part is that some just don't believe that it's safe. They don't, you know, they don't want to go there. So you could fall into that category. Here's what Mr. Microsoft had to say about, and you know who that is, Bill Gates, what he had to say about the vaccine, the stimulus, and thoughts on COVID-19.
Yeah, in fact, the stimulus bill is the best opportunity to get that because it'll showcase that in order to be a good citizen and stop the disease outside the United States, that the portion of resources required to do that is less than 1% of the stimulus bill, and it'll just be, you know, amongst the various measures to help out there. I think given how distracted the country is with an election and all the problems the pandemic has brought, that no standalone bills are, you know, getting done for anything. And so being part of that overall thing, I think that's how the people in the Congress who support these things have decided that's the most likely way for something to get done.
All right, so if it's the most likely way for something to get done, we're not getting there anytime soon. And he's right. It has to be the separation and not so much dumped into one bill and I want this and you want that and it's not working out because there is no agreement. We don't seem to be close to it. I mean, look, we've got now 7 days to go and how many? 14 Senate seats up for grabs. The presidency, what's going to happen there, the huge early voting surge, the scramble, the expectations, everything else that's happening. So then you throw in the virus and the importance of the stimulus, and then you mix in the conversation about the vaccine, and, well, let's just say it is a very chaotic time, very chaotic. And I didn't think that we were going to have this big stimulus that was going to happen right before the election for that reason, because of the fact that you also had Amy Coney Barrett and the Supreme Court, now Justice, being the nominee, going through the process, even though that was pretty fast the way that happened. It certainly took away some time, and it ended up capturing a lot of capturing a lot of focus, those for, those against, period. End of discussion. And then, of course, COVID itself, with what it's doing to the White House staff, what's happened with Vice President Pence. So, as I've said before, it is an understatement to say the times, they are very, very interesting. But I don't think we're going to see the stimulus happen quickly, although who knows? I mean, maybe at the ninth hour something goes down. If it doesn't happen in the next day or two, forget it, because now you're really in the stretch drive, and then you're coming up against Election Day, and I don't believe that. If I am the president, if I am the Republican string puller, meaning not necessarily White House people, but people running the campaign, I would want the stimulus to happen, because the people who are going to stand in line with their mask on and vote for the president are the people, a lot of people who want the stimulus, need the stimulus, and we're counting on getting the stimulus, because it just seemed like, okay, there's going to be two stimuluses. Here's the first one. Oh my gosh, it helped so much. Now we need another one, and it doesn't seem like we're going to have a big hurdle with that, but there were so many hurdles that it did not happen. So there you go. Hey, coming up the rest of this hour, I want to set the table for you. We're going to have a conversation with Philip Nelson about policy. And when I talk about policy and politics, the politics of academics, and he writes about that in his book, and I thought it was fascinating because he talks about the good intentions but the bad consequences, meaning what is the shift that we've seen in academia and how has that, in a sense, handcuffed so many, and what is it doing to college students and expectations and slants in people filling certain professions. And he's been in that policy business, the business of making policy. I mean, it's a big business, really, if you think about it. And it's interesting how he came about some of what he surmised in the research and whatnot. So he's coming up at the tail end of the hour. Then your thoughts in the mailbag. Remember, 24/7, you can always shoot me your ideas, what you think about the election. Is it really going to be announced on November 3rd, or are we going to have to play the wait-and-see game again for weeks on end? You can do that by going to Kate@KateDelaneyRadio.com. Kate@KateDelaneyRadio.com. One of the things, you know, this segment started off money, money, money. And I let you hear, of course, Bill Gates talking about the stimulus. 7 months into the COVID crisis, there are lots of Americans who were, living on the money, the emergency funds that they saved, and now they're on the brink of losing so much, making decisions on car payment versus house, et cetera, and they're not that much better off. And it's not for, geez, did you look for a job? It's what kind of job are you going to find, right? I mean, seriously. And you're an engineer. Times are either flourishing in some companies or tough in others. And I think there's so many more people that are struggling with that, and they can't easily find these other jobs. This is the pandemic, right? Different than before, where you could pound the pavement. I know it's virtual, but it's still very, very different. So states opening their economies in different phases, the federal government sending the $1,200 stimulus checks to help keep people afloat, and then the $600 federal supplements to the weekly unemployment benefits. They were great, but they expired in July, and now you've got Congress deadlocked over renewing at least some of the aid. And you can't pay bills, though, with, hey, they're arguing about it on the Hill. It's going to happen, and I'll be able to pay this phone bill. Please don't shut my phone off. I'm trying to find a job. I mean, overall, the nation has recovered slightly more than half of the 22.2 million jobs that were shed in March and April, so some businesses could restart. And that did bring, there were other businesses. I know three people in my orbit that were furloughed that were brought back and even got their back pay, the pay that was, taken away or pay that was cut, which is a good thing. But still, they were lucky. Job growth has slowed in the last few months, and some businesses who were eking it out, trying to make it work, have closed for good because it's been so tough on small businesses. And recouping that remaining 10.8 million lost jobs is taking a lot longer. Plus, there's people that are underemployed, or there's people that were 1099, I think, that lost a lot of that side hustle gigs that they had and that they were sustaining themselves on. And this is what's, really, 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 really tough. So that little bit of money, that stimulus money, and then you combine that with that extra bump, and that really kept people in the game. I call it in the game, that they could feel okay. And, even if they were eating ramen and they had cut back on everything, they were being able to make payments and stay in houses, and they were okay with their kids and stuff. So trust me, it's absolutely tough out there. And that's not lost on the president, and that's not lost on the challengers in any of these races that are going on right now. Your thoughts coming up on the flip side.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
President Trump's campaign website was the victim of an apparent hack Tuesday night. The site was briefly defaced with a message stating that the site had been seized. The campaign said no important data had been exposed and they're working with law enforcement to find the source of the hack. The site was quickly restored. Police in Philadelphia now have National Guard support as a second night of protests turns violent.
The Pennsylvania National Guard has been deployed to Philadelphia as the city struggles through a second night of violence and riots after two officers fatally shot a black man, 27-year-old Walter Wallace Jr. The move by Governor Tom Wolf, a Democrat, to activate the Guard, it's a departure from other Democratic governors who've been hesitant to mobilize troops amid unrest. Lieutenant Colonel Keith Hickox confirms that several hundred guardsmen are assisting local police in protecting life, property, and the right to peacefully assemble and protest. For USA Radio News, I'm Val Dior.
This is USA Radio News. The First Lady made a rare campaign speech on Tuesday. Melania Trump spoke to supporters in Atglen, Pennsylvania, in what is her first solo appearance on the campaign trail this year. The First Lady focused her message on the COVID-19 pandemic, talking about her family's bout with the virus, and taking Democrats to task for politicizing the pandemic.
The Democrats have chosen to put their own agendas ahead of the American people's well-being. Instead, they attempt to create a divide. A divide on something that should be non-partisan and non-controversial. A divide that causes confusion and fear instead of hope and security.
The president himself held rallies in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Nebraska, while former Vice President Joe Biden campaigned in Georgia. Vice President Mike Pence was also on the stump, speaking at events in North and South Carolina. Former President Barack Obama was also campaigning for Biden in Florida. This is USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe hand sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
All right, thanks to everybody who sent me their thoughts, including Philly Phil. I love the way you threw that in. Yep, obviously, realizing my background. Philly Phil says, wow, the Keystone State so in play, Katie Kate. I can't tell you how many people I know that are voting for President Trump. And then across the street, how many other people are voting for Joe Biden? I think this one is going to be such a toss-up, way too close to call. And in one way, I'm surprised. In one way, I am not. I guess it depends on your point of view, how you're doing economically, how the virus has affected you, and a slew of other policies, red tape, regulations, or whatever it is that is the obstacle you consider to be the obstacle with in your world with the politicians. Well, yeah, that's it, right? That's, you go back to the founding fathers. Boom, you set up the parties. This, we're going in this direction. You're going in that direction. And sometimes it crosses over and sometimes it doesn't. I think it says something that more than 66 million people have voted. I mean, we're really pushing 70 is what I heard. So, but, and how does that compare with past elections? And I actually got that question from Alice, who is listening to us in New Orleans. I love that name, Alice. I had a cool Aunt Alice when I was a kid. She's a great aunt. Anyway, I'm digressing, but Alice says, Kate, with so many people voting early, how does that compare? I think I heard you mention it one show, but I missed it. How does that compare to previous elections? Well, how does it compare? I mean, you got to think about this. If we look at all the presidential elections in the last 50 years and the highest eligible voter turnout rate, because now it's about the rate, right? Gosh, some of the lowest turnout rates, George H.W. Bush and Dukakis in 88, 52.8%. Bill Clinton and Bob Dole in 96, 51.7%. I mean, there's been massive fluctuations, you know, the trends. But this is the most, this could be the most, the highest eligible voter turnout rate ever, because we're measuring this overall, was 82.6% in 1876. And that was when Rutherford Hayes beat the Democrat Sam Tilden. And then in 1860, Abraham Lincoln defeated John Breckinridge. Boy, we keep hearing his name a lot, right? John Bell and Stephen Douglas, 81.8% of eligible voters turned out. Of course, there's less population, right? So there's just been fluctuations that we've seen. By 1920, though, rates fell to less than 50%, and mostly that's what we were seeing, that they were a lot lower. I mean, the highest voter turnout that we saw in the last 50 years was 2008, and that was 61.65%. The 2016 election had a big turnout of 60%, and so those were records that we hadn't seen in the past, because usually it's just so much lower. And I think this is going to shatter records, is what I think. Because if you figure more than 257 million people in the U.S. are 18 or older, and nearly 240 million people are eligible to vote this year, the numbers that we have. And I've used this guy before, talked about this guy before, and he's quoted all over the place. Michael McDonald is a professor at the University of Florida. He runs the U.S. elections projection. And eligible voters include people living overseas, but not non-citizens or people convicted of a felony, depending on the state law. So it is possible that 85 million people or more could vote before November 3rd, with 150 million voting in total. That would mean the turnout would be more than 62%, so that would be a crushing number. But the early voter turnout, that's just astronomical compared to what we've seen in the past. I mean, nothing like we saw in 2016. Yeah, people are paying attention, right? And by the way, I think it's all kinds of people. I don't think it's just Democrats, and I don't think it's just Republicans either. All right, let's move to another one. This one is from Jake, who we talk to frequently on the show, or at least he emails us all the time. He's called twice in the history of knowing me for 10 years. Jake. And Jake says, Kate, I don't know about you, but ever since that whole thing that happened with Jeffrey Toobin, the nonsense of him not paying attention to what he was doing to himself personally, naked with his colleagues, it has all of us a little weary about Zoom and what people are seeing or what people aren't seeing on the Zoom. I, for one, hope we eventually get back to some world where we're face-to-face and everything is not virtual. While virtual, thank goodness, is helping us in business and it's helping many sustain what they have to do, including kids at schools, I think all of us are just weary of so much of the Zoom time, and I'm sure it's affected other people in different ways. But maybe it'd be better to have a no-camera policy. Well, then if you have no-camera policy, then the interaction part is not good. You can have no-camera for some people, but to not have any interaction, not see somebody's face, I mean, yeah, I call it Zoom doom. What is really crazy, I guess, but all of a sudden now people are on camera. Because you're on a camera, you're in a box, whatever you're doing. And Botox especially has gone up. Doesn't matter, we're in a pandemic, I need to get my eyes done. Because people are seeing themselves on camera and they don't like what they see. And then they're having to interact and they're focusing on that. And so that business has just Oh my gosh, that business has just soared. I mean, just absolutely soared. The imaging business. It just goes to show you, right? Here's what I'd say. You want my tips on Zoom? I'm just going to give it to you. I'm going to throw it in. Just get one of those round lights, stick it in front of you, stick it high enough, and just make sure what's in your background and make sure the camera's high enough up and you're a little bit back, but you're not completely all the way in the back of the room. You're close enough, and you can just practice that by setting up a fake one. Boom, there. That's why you listen to the show, because you can get a great tip like that, right? Of course. All right, Joe says, hey, Kate Delaney, I miss you. I listen to your show a lot, but I've been swamped lately, and I haven't had a chance to do it. I'm wondering about COVID and where we are with COVID cases and deaths, and, you know, we hear about these flare-ups, and it's scary in some areas, and in others it seems like people are really paying attention, and social distancing and the mask thing works, and washing hands and all of that. Well, if you're just asking for, and that's all you left us with, so I'm thinking deaths and recovery and all that. So in the United States, as of right now, as this leaves my lips, up to date, 230,176 have died in the U.S. That's out of 8,879,000 cases recovered, over 5.4. Globally, 1,166,000 deaths recovered, 29 million out of the confirmed cases of 43 million. I just can't imagine. I saw a story the other day, and we know that, of course, assisted living, nursing homes, they're affected greatly by this. Frontline workers, they're affected by it all over the world, not just in the United States. But there are these exceptions to the rule, and there are plenty of them. And there was just a story I saw the other day about an 18-year-old boy so excited going off to college. He was in a dorm for 2 weeks. He got COVID-19. Supposedly healthy kid, young kid, but how it affected him, he died. And seeing his father weep and saying, I mean, he could barely talk, oh, it just grabbed me. And that's the thing about the this wicked bastard of a disease. There's no definite. I mean, it's the two words that I hate hearing together. No cure. No cure. So until there is some cure, until there's ways to treat it, and there's more ways that are being developed, but seeing deaths rising again, that raises fear. It's sad. It affects livelihoods. It affects lives, more importantly. And it's a beast. It is a beast of burden, right? As the Rolling Stones would say, this is the ultimate beast of burden, one that we did not expect, we did not want, and the unwelcome guest is not going away. 7 months into this, I think back to earlier shows and what we talked about and what you sent to me in the mailbag and how you felt optimistic at points thinking, We can get through this, number one, which I still think we can, but we are going to lick this. We're going to get in a turn in the summer. It'll be better. We might have to batten the hatches in the winter. I don't think so. Remember, I was taking the show on the road a lot, and so much of what I was doing got canceled. That was in October because they thought, well, I was supposed to take the show and do a speech in Chicago. We'll be fine. Yeah, let's do it in October. Boom. They book it in October. It's gone. Book something in November. Book something in December. Now, some places are, again, opening up more, but it just depends. Yeah, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I hate it, hate it, hate it. All right, stay with us. We're talking about policy and how it affects universities and ultimately affects the culture. Philip Nelson.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
There's nothing worse than thinking that your Medicare benefits are going to cover routine medical expenses like vision, dental, and prescription benefits, only to find that when an emergency arises, your Medicare plan is full of gaps that don't even begin to cover your medical emergency. How would it feel to have to go into debt because your Medicare program didn't cover everything 100%? Studies show that 95% of Medicare recipients pay more than $5,000 per year on out-of-pocket medical expenses. At SnapMedicare.com, we understand how important it is for you to be prepared for any type of medical emergency. All it takes is a quick phone call to 800-286-5516 to find out exactly where you stand with your Medicare coverage and to save thousands on future costs. Call 800-286-5516 to make sure your Medicare plan includes provisions to cover any gap in coverage. Whether you have questions about Part A or Part B Medicare coverage, remember, call 800-286-5516. SnapMedicare.com. Call 800-286-5516.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Author's Corner, Philip Nelson. He's written a book called Good Intentions, Bad Consequences, Voters' Information Problems. Philip, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Well, thank you.
So why did you, first of all, let's start with the basic premise of this. What's the book about? Tell the listeners and the voters what the book is about.
Well, the book confronts several sort of issues. I think one of the fundamental ones is about the behavior of universities and how they affect voting. And basically, the thesis, the good intentions, are what the universities in general advocate. They advocate something that they try to be good. And so that's the good intention. The bad consequences are the result of them ignoring the consequences of the policies they advocate, and the nature of the policies they advocate in their desire to be good. Universities are focused on inequality. The mantra is race class and gender, and obviously they're advocating for the underdog in all of those categories. And the problem is that people other than the underdogs themselves are interested in the consequences to them of the policies that they push. And so they don't agree with the premise that inequality is all there is to deciding whether a policy is good or bad. And they also are concerned with the other consequences of those policies. So what happens is, I mean, in general, I mean, it's well known that university faculty are quite liberal. That's been thoroughly established. But the interesting question is why they are so liberal. If they were so liberal just on the basis of providing relevant information, which is the general function of universities, if they were liberal on that account, then they would be doing some good, because information is a serious problem in voter decision making. But the fact that they, since they have this position that inequality is all that counts, they don't look at other consequences. They wouldn't, in fact, look at other consequences also, because those other consequences might be unfavorable to their cause. And there's something called confirmation bias, where people mainly just look at the consequences that are favorable to their cause. And
right.
So you have okay.
So let me jump in a second. So if they look at the favorability of what it is to them, then what you get is what you're saying is the influence. We can see it on professions, right? Like lawyers, etc. And then the intellectual diversity, you don't get a lot of that intellectual diversity is what you're saying too, right?
No, you don't, because these views are so predominant in the university. And that's particularly true of the humanities and the social sciences other than economics. There are English departments basically often have as low as 2% of their faculty that are Republicans, and that's because that's the way they hire. It's not something that's going to go away. Actually, it's gotten a lot worse. Colleges used to be diverse intellectually, and that has become less and less the case. And that does not represent the views of the population as a whole. So this, in a sense, is very undemocratic because it sort of foists the preferences of faculty members on the general population. And it's noteworthy, for example, that the college educated are next to blacks are the largest group sort of voting for Clinton in the last election. And instead of it being of the faculty providing more information about the consequences of policy, it ends up they're providing less. And that
Gotcha. And you, this has been your life's work. So you understand about policy and what we're talking about. For everybody that's out there listening to this and understanding what you're saying about education and what it's, what you've noticed and what you're seeing and what you've flushed out in the book, what do you hope that they take away from reading your book? If someone's listening saying, wow, I want to read Good Intentions, Bad Consequences, Voters, Information Problems, what do you hope they take away from it?
Well, I hope they take away some understanding of the voter process. And, I mean, there are a lot of issues that I examine in that book that I think are interesting. And so just as a consumer and as a potential voter, it would make a big difference. I hope that it kind of persuades people to vote other than the way the faculty is pushing, because basically what they're doing, there is something good about what they're doing. I mean, they're trying to be good.
Right.
And so that's kind of noble. It was just unfortunate that their definition of what constitutes good and their suppression of the information about the consequences of their particular goodness runs counter to what we would hope would be democratic outcomes. So I'm interested basically in both people learning something about the voting process and using that knowledge to help form their own votes.
Yeah.
That is,
and instead of having the undue influence, I understand what you're saying, and you prove this out, or you talk about this, and you give weighty examples in the book. Good Intentions, Bad Consequences, Voter Information Problems. Philip Nelson, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Okay, sure.
All right, so it's interesting because, you know, on this show we always try to present all sides. It was so timely for me to have Philip on because it made me think that, you know, I always say left of left or right of right or somewhere in between or what are the labels? And you can hear what he was weaving in there where he was saying that the intentions are good, but have things shifted? Have you seen this shift so much in academics and what that influences, et cetera, and what that produces? So the intentions, that's why the good intentions are there. But he's saying that there's bad consequences ultimately on what the shift is. And it was interesting because in our off-air conversations, one of the things we talked about is the Hoover Institute at Stanford. It's one of those rare institutes that is a little bit, I'll say, swinging the pendulum back. So what is the influence of universities and higher education on what we're seeing in our society? So worth examining, no doubt about that. And thanks to all of you for listening to this interview and to this hour of the show. Remember, make it count, everybody. As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.